Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Science of Melanology presented by Dr. Jewel Pookrum. All recorded and printed materials are copyrighted by the Jewel Publications, Inc., a subsidiary of the House of Jewels. Any unauthorized duplication of these materials is strictly prohibited. Our commitment is to connect with those who want to discover and learn the science of life and the science of living. For additional books, MP3, Mayan calendars, Immortal Chat CDs, registration for the Balancing Program, and the Advanced Balancing Workshop, please visit our website, thejewelnetwork.com, or call 602-559-1842. That's thejewelnetwork.com. Or call 602-559-1842. Thank you.
Greetings, everyone. How are you? This is Melanology, and this is Dr. Jewel. Boy, it's just been very, very busy here the last couple of days. I guess, as you may have realized, I have been traveling, and when I travel, that always means that I have acquired a lot of new information, met a lot of new wonderful people, and I have much, much information to basically bring back home to us. So I hope you've enjoyed the show so far and that you've learned an awful lot about a lot of things that we've been discussing. I want to congratulate the Jewel Network on Mr. Herbie Harris's The 12 Principles of Success, Universal Laws of Success. A wonderful show. He's been sharing a lot of fabulous information, and I'm just really pleased with myself that this has been made available for all of the listening audience. And congratulations to It's About Time with Mr. Randy Bruner. Fabulous show. He just got started, and I really encourage all of you, I really urge all of you to make sure that you take the time to listen to his show, because it's very important now that we begin to synchronize our perception and awareness of time, not as much on the chronometer as on the changes and the signs that are going on with Mother Nature. So I don't know how many of you are aware of the fact that, you know, we've had some serious electromagnetic shifts occur within the planet Earth and upon it within the last 4 or 5 days, as well as shifting of very large land masses now. So the entire location of South America has shifted on the grid, latitude, longitude, as well as other large land masses, New Zealand, et cetera. And so this is really changing the awareness and orientation of everything. So be very careful and cautious in making sure that you pay attention to yourself, just little simple things, your speech, how you've been thinking, your energy levels in the body, how electromagnetic or magnetoelectric instruments may or may not be functioning. You know, this is a time for lots of patience and to be open to change. That's very important, to be open to change, because things are changing and nothing is the same anymore. So starting out now very subtly, but there's a shift happening, and it's very important that you begin to accept this shift as part of your new reality and not be bound to wanting to keep things exactly as the same. Because as soon as you begin to do that and want to become crystallized in your perception of how things are, you're going to start experiencing a lot of resistance and a lot of chaos unnecessarily in your lives and in everything that you're involved in. So it's time to get flexible and to begin to make the change and be allowing. That is the big word of the moment, allowing, for whatever is presently in your world to really pay attention and to recognize that shifts are occurring, et cetera, that you're going to be allowing to allow yourself to begin to understand what's going on. So today is our day to talk about melanin and the skin, and I definitely am excited about doing that. But my studies and my travels over the last 2 weeks have really brought home the importance of unity, unification, and looking for the place of yourself and everything that you are aware of. How does that fit into the whole, as opposed to accepting a difference or separation or a division and moving forward, knowing that that is not connected in consciousness with the whole of what's going on. So wholeness is very, very important now, and the willingness to understand how everything fits into the whole is what is going to keep literally you and your life whole. So this is the reason why the Jewel Network decided that a show entitled Melanology was so important. And as we begin to break down and really look at all of these incredible and fabulous functions of this pigment, we today are going to address it again from the very superficial level of skin function. Again, it's very important to recognize that this, like everything else, has variations, and those variations, unfortunately, have been used up to the moment as a means to divide and separate us. And that is what is dissolving before our very eyes. So skin color is an adaptive process, and the genes that control it have unlimited potential in all human beings. And we're spelling human, H-U-E-M-A-N. That's correct, because that's the really correct spelling of the word, human, because of this variation in this pigment that causes so many different shades of skin color, hair color, eye color, tissue, mass, etc. So we are now moving to the origin of the wholeness of this, and as we share this information tonight, we definitely want you to think of wholeness in perspective. So, just as a review, as you know, melanin, spelled M-E-L-A-N-I-N, it's a natural pigment. It's a very large pigment, so we really refer to it as a polymer. And in the body, it's found in many, many locations. Obviously, the eyes, yes, within the ears, the brain, depending upon the genes that have been activated based on your environment and thinking, there can be up to 8 sites in the brain that are heavily pigmented down to a minimum of 2. Each different location contains a different variety of melanin also on the body. So in the brain, we know that we have substances that are labeled neuromelanins. We know in the skin, our topic for tonight, there are primarily 2 forms of melanin, the eumelanin, E-U-M-E-L-A-N-I-N, and pheomelanin, P-H-E-O-M-E-L-A-N-I-N. And we talked about the 2 major differences in the pheomelanin and the eumelanins. Remember, one primarily is made out of tyrosine, and the other one has another amino acid added to it. Does anyone know? Did I hear you say cysteine? Very good. And that's what produces the pheomelanin. So in references to melanin, most of the texts are still quite superficial with their description, and they refer to this as, you know, skin pigments, but they do not understand that melanin is very, very important also in the function of many organs in the body. So melanin in the skin functions as many, many things, and still a lot of those things have not been discovered. So we're going to start from the superficial to the more occult activities in the skin. It functions as an absorptive pigment. That is to say that most of us are aware of the fact that it absorbs radiation or wavelengths of light, especially those wavelengths that appear to be quite hostile to the skin in the form of burning and tissue damage, the ultraviolet blue wavelength, and above that, X-ray, cosmic rays, gamma rays, etc., appear to be forms of the electromagnetic spectrum that the skin does not tolerate. However, which is very interesting, now we're going to move a little esoterically here, we know for a fact that melanin has the capacity, depending on whether especially eumelanin or pheomelanin, to absorb all forms of the known electromagnetic spectrum, store them, and actually multiply the amount of energy in that frequency and release it back into the environment in the form of heat. So we know for a fact that if melanin can do this on the skin, then why is it that individuals who may be exposed to ultraviolet radiation or X-ray or gamma ray, et cetera, don't appear to tolerate this very well? Now, I am inserting that the reason why is because the corresponding associative components of skin melanin have not been activated. Now, I'm pausing because I really want you to think about what I said. I'll repeat it again. The corresponding components associated with dermal or skin melanin in individuals who appear to be hypersensitive to frequencies of light of a higher vibration or wavelength, which becomes really shorter, then visual light do not have the corresponding components of the melanin circuit activated in their body. So what I have taught in the past is that the entire body is a whole unit. So even though we have a structure on the end of the ankles in the form of the foot and on the end of the wrist as the hand, and then the hand itself is then divided to an extent where we have digits projecting from the base of the palm area of the hand that we call fingers, it is still one unit. And to the degree that each finger is autonomous, that autonomy still has its unification to the palms of the hand and then the hand itself to the wrist of the body and on. This is the same description that I'm giving to you about melanin and its components in its circuit of functioning. You're listening to Dr. Jewel, and this is the Melanology Show. Now, again, I want to describe to you the fact that melanin on the skin is in a circuitry of components throughout the entire body. Therefore, when we are having the presentation of deficiencies in melanin function on the skin, it also is an indication of deficiencies in the development of components in the melanin circuitry within the body. Now, I stated earlier the microtubule system, or sometimes called carbules. The microtubule system literally is like the cable network that runs into your home, that runs along the expressways, etc. And if you've ever seen these very large cables, they're very interesting because they have subcomponents within them. If you can ever get a hold of one of these large cables, you know, they're probably almost 2.5-3 inches in diameter. And if you're able to peel back the outer cover, you will find subcables. You'll find smaller cables wrapped within this one large component known as a cable system. What is so interesting about these multiple cables and the very large parent cable is that they are color-coded. And that color coding is very significant because it indicates the type of energy that is actually transmitted through that cable. So even in your own home, if you take one of the wires that run from the VCR to the TV, you will notice that if you cut the wires, there's teeny-weeny little wires inside, and each one is wrapped, and the color outside of the wire is different because it's been actually primed to be able to conduct a particular frequency. Now, the microtubule system in every cell of your body, also has that capability. It's so cute when you see them because it actually has a center cable, and then it has literally six other smaller little wires around it. So it almost kind of looks like a lotus seed. When you cut a lotus seed in half, you'll see this kind of same configuration. Now, what we've discovered is that each one of the subtubules in the microtubule conducts a particular frequency of light. So there's one subcable that will conduct the Hertzian frequency of light, the infrared frequency, the visual light spectrum, the ultraviolet blue frequency. Then we will have our X-rays, gamma rays, cosmic rays that are able to be conducted, transmitted through every cell in your body. However, if the microtubule system has not been activated, and that occurs by activating the correspondent area of the brain, then those wiring systems are dormant. Therefore, the component that would fire to the skin in the melanin pigment will also be dormant, and therefore the melanin will not be equipped to be able to absorb that particular frequency of light and dissipate it in the form of heat. And so to the melanin pigment, as well as to the skin that it is surrounded within, the inability of the heat to be dissipated will then become destructive, and burning will occur. So this phenomena that we are now experiencing called sunburn is really a reflection of the corresponding area of the brain in that individual being undeveloped. The neurons are not firing at their minimum capacity that can conduct that frequency of light as it goes through the eye. Therefore, the correspondent components that are now connected to the cell also are dormant, and those subcables in the microtubule system have not been primed to conduct that level of frequency of energy, and so therefore the system cannot process that frequency of energy, and then it will present itself as a burn phenomena. So anyone that has melanin, even though they may be classified as what we term melanin recessive, that is individuals who basically have a very sluggish TYR gene on chromosome number 11 that handles tyrosine in a limited manner because the amount of tyrosinase that is available to be made is limited, they will produce a limited amount of melanin within the melanocyte in the skin, and therefore the melanocyte, the type of melanin that it produces, stays primarily pycnotic. And pycnotic is a Latin term for saying that it stays balled up, okay? So instead of the melanin laying down in the melanocyte nice and smooth when it's released into the dermis, it does not do that. It stays balled up into a couple corners or areas of the cell, and the rest of the cell is transparent where light is passing right through it. With the melanin not being fluid and easily accessible to permeate the entire cell itself, and then also being able to be primed by its capacity to absorb light, to prime the corresponding subcable in the microtubules, that tissue will not be able to handle that frequency of energy from light, and the end result of exposure would be burning. Now, what I just elucidated to you has not been written much in the literature because it requires, again, the ability to see that the melanin pigment is a whole system of energy exchange relative to ambient light. And right now, because there's so much polarity going on the planet, and this may sound, you know, quite theoretical, it's quite factual that the polarity in our thinking, when we look at a system, we cannot see the system as an entire whole phenomenon because our orientation is to only see a part of a system. So this has been a serious problem on the planet, and, you know, I don't want to get very philosophical about how the state of consciousness of seeing things as far as, you know, good or bad, positive or negative, it has caused a lot of problems on the planet to the extent that even our body, the entire human body, cannot function as a whole on structure because of this continuous perception of division as to how we look out at the world and obviously at ourselves. So one of the main goals here on the Melanology Show is to dissolve the perception that a variation in the presentation of this pigment in the skin known as melanin has anything to do primarily with a pseudo nomenclature known as race. So nomenclature is basically a methodology as to how you label things. And we know that that is not true. We, you know, there's a picture. If you're ever interested, you write me. I'll send you a picture of, you know, a very pheomelanated husband and wife who have 5 children. And the children range from being stark white, yes, they are albinos, to being caramel brown, to eumelanated, very dark chocolate brown. And they all have come from the same mother, from the same father, in one family. So if the older children who have the minimal production of melanin recessiveness, if those children with their blonde white hair were sent out into the environment, et cetera, and the mother walked on one side of the street and the child walked on the other, most people in their mind could never, ever comprehend that the woman and the child just 3 feet away from each other were true child and parent because of our deep programming of perceiving a degree of melanation associated with a race. It's not true, my listeners. It is not true. So it's very important in this century, the 21st century, for us to move forward as a unified species of organism on this planet that we have to have a much more grounded and solidified reasoning for considering that we are unlike another species of ourselves, of our own kind. It cannot be based on genetics because we know that 99% of all the genes, some people say 99.2, some other articles I've read say 99.9% of all the genes in the human genome from, quote, all races, unquote, are exactly the same. Again, we know for a fact that the TYR gene that is sluggish in melanin recessive individuals can be primed to become more active if the individual chooses to do so. However, there are particular glands that must remain active or be activated, and the hormones from those glands must be secreted in the body, as well as the desire, the attitude of the individual to increase the amount of melanin they produce. So, with proper glandular activity, therefore hormone secretion in the bloodstream, with a focused intent from the mind relayed to the brain, that neurochemistry from the brain will then be able to stimulate more production of tyrosinase from the TYR gene on chromosome number 11 in all of their cells, where they can literally become darker by making more melanin. So if you've tuned in today, I want you to listen to me very clearly. If you are melanin recessive, you can become pheomelanated. If you choose to become eumelanated, you can by a change in your perception of yourself as well as perception of your body and the ability for you to relinquish the perception that you are of a race family other than the human race. So, you know, that's a whole other teaching on, you know, states of consciousness and neurophysiology, which the Jewel Network is prepared to and is excited about bringing to you at a later date, because this is very important. Everybody who has a body should have the mind of a scientist if they choose to, but they definitely should know how to run their avatar. So we're going to bring that to you. But I just thought that I would want to project this information to you as I read to you about the pigments and melanin in the skin. So, again, we were talking about the standard literature talks about melanin as a pigment, a substance that, as a result of selective wavelength absorption, determines the color of the skin, also in plants, also in animals, but we're talking about human melanin now. So in humans, you have the eumelanin, the pheomelanin, that is responsible for handling ultraviolet radiation. The eumelanin is a black, dark brown pigment, mainly concerned with the production of the skin for absorbing UV radiation, but we know for a fact that the melanins in the skin have far more function than that. And so that's why I'm so excited about all the other topics. We're going to talk about the melanocortins and the melanoleptins and all these different forms of melanin activity that have so much say-so, literally, in the functioning of your body, to the extent it's the melanins that determine whether you can have an orgasm or not, whether that you can have an erection or not, whether it be clitoral or penile. The melanocortins are responsible for this, and so we have a whole topic that we'll talk about on that later. So the protective ability of the skin is sustained by melanin, and it is definitely looked at as a photoprotectant. This is a substance that helps us to begin to sustain and be unaffected by radiation from the sun. For those of you who just tuned in, we have been talking about the melanin in the skin, okay, because there's melanin throughout all areas of the body, but the melanin in the skin, we've talked about the genetics of the fact that there's a specific gene that is responsible for making the enzyme necessary for the melanocyte to produce melanin, and also we've talked about the fact that the melanin activity in the skin is predicated on whether all of the components in the melanin system of really photo management, if you want to talk about it, photoelectromagnetic photo management, whether all components in the system in the human body have been activated or not. And right now in the development of humanity, our capacity to handle easily the full electromagnetic spectrum above visual light has been quite limited. And so therefore the misnomer that X-ray, gamma rays, cosmic rays, ultraviolet radiation, UVB, is damaging to the skin is only because it has not been revealed to humanity at this point in time that the inability to manage these shorter frequencies of light is because the areas of the brain that normally would trigger the activity of the cable system in every cell of the body to be able to manage these frequencies of light has not been activated. This is very critical to recognize. And so, therefore, when we talk about what the pigments in the skin can do, we really don't know a lot about what they can do because there's still too much of the brain tissue that has not been activated relative to the frequencies of light that these components of the brain conduct that we can't make statements on them. It's like a black hole. It's like, you know, looking at a picture and the center of the picture has been torn out and there's nothing there but just empty space. And this is what we're still dealing with melanin. So, therefore, we cannot say all the things that melanin cannot do in its relationship with all components of the body because the areas of the brain that would allow us to conceive what is before our very eyes is not active yet. So I'm envisioning that our scientists will finally come to this conclusion very rapidly because as the planet is changing its position with our sun, and with all the other planets in our solar system, we need to have our melanin fully activated and our entire microtubule system fully activated so that we can handle the new frequencies of light that we're going to be and we are being exposed to at a much greater extent now. So rather than, you know, us walking around looking like crispy critters and having to come up with just tons and tons of chemicals to put on our skin to protect us, this is a time that is demanding that the human go within and begin to develop other areas of the brain that intentionally have been built to conduct these frequencies of light, which will then activate the entire electromagnetic photosensitivity centers throughout all cells in the body, and it won't be a problem for us. So we don't really have built-in limitations. We really don't, as human beings, spelled H-U-E-M-A-N-B-E-I-N-G-S, we have many attributes of our avatar. That's what I refer to, your body as your avatar, that are underdeveloped and that you have not been trained properly to activate them. So we've spent a lot of time learning about, to the extent that our brain will let us perceive about things and places in our outer environment, but very little time has been spent collectively and in a uniform manner throughout the planet as to the study on the body itself, upon our own body. And because that has not happened, we are beginning to suffer severely from the changes in the environment, and we find that we're having problems, that is, our avatar is having problems in being able to make the changes because we have not put our focus on the systems in the body and have not been willing to assist them in developing without having to be exposed to harsh stimuli and tremendous trauma. So, again, the skin pigments are the most outer components of a photosynthetic system. And when I say synthetic, I'm really saying systemic, a photosystemic system that has been laced throughout the entire body for us to be able to use the full light spectrum at will for different forms of energy for different functionings of the body. But we have not been trained in this yet, and so therefore, you know, we're beginning to suffer. That's why the Jewel Network is devoted to broadcasting the sciences of life so that we can begin to entertain these new capabilities and potentials of the body and then begin to seek information as to how we can on our own, begin to activate these dormant capabilities in the body. So, moving further, since we know that melanins really handle more than just protecting us from UV radiation, the melanins normally would not, if your brain was completely activated, your melanin would not protect you, per se, from UV radiation. It would use and absorb that UV radiation and use it as the proper stimuli and source of energy for cellular function that is needed to be motivated and energized by that type of energy. So it's just like having a car. You have an electric car, you don't put gasoline in it because the type of energy that it needs is not from gasoline. It's from electricity. If you have a car that is primed to work on water, we don't plug it into the wall. We don't put gasoline in it. It basically needs H2O. And we have cells in our body that are arranged and programmed to function the same way. Some cells basically need higher frequencies of energy for them to be able to become fully developed and activated. UV radiation, gamma rays, cosmic rays. We have cells in our body that are built for this. I don't know if my colleagues have ever thought about the fact that maybe that's why they're having so many problems dealing with stem cells. Of course the stem cells want to be activated. And of course they recognize that we're there to make sure that if there's an arm or leg or finger or an organ that needs to be replaced, what's what we're here for? We're here to replace it. But you can't come and approach me with a low vibratory frequency of commonality, such as a Hertzian frequency, or an infrared frequency of energy and think that I'm going to turn myself on, because this is a very common frequency all of the time. It's no need to continuously repeat and make myself over and over again by being exposed to that level of energy, because that's what I would do. So the body, being so intelligent, recognizes that if an arm or leg needs to be replaced or an organ, there has to be an exceptionally high frequency of light exposure to the proper cells and the proper duration of time, et cetera, that will turn them on with the consciousness necessary from directions from the brain, the neurotransmitters, and voila, you get intrinsic, which means from the inside, no external, you know, manipulation, that will turn themselves on and begin to replicate the damaged areas of the body. So my colleagues, through their experimentation in vivo in the lab, have been able to turn them off. But, of course, they're like, oh, my God, we can't turn them off. They just grow. Well, yeah, because obviously the light switch that you use to turn on, quote, no pun intended, was the incorrect switch. So that's why you can't turn them on, because that was not the original switch to activate them from the beginning. But, again, when we're not willing to see the whole of things and to recognize we have a system here. So even though I'm at the front door, does not negate that the house has a back door and perhaps side doors and everything else. So just because I'm at the front door in no way insinuates that that's all that there is and we've got to figure out the rest. No. Mother Nature has exhibited itself to us under all circumstances that it deals with wholeness, spelled with a W, not with an H. And therefore, if there's a front door and truly there's something that needs to enter as well as exit, the exit site has always also been created. If there's a means that needs to be turned off with proper control or turned on, those switches have also been created. So if we think in a whole perspective, we then want to ask the question, then where are the switches? How do they look? How do we turn them on? How do they turn off on their own? What do we do? Not just assume that there's not one there and we have to create it. So I am reiterating this to you over and over again, because the answers to many problems that we have are standing right next to the problem. But if we do not think in terms of wholeness, we will not deduce that the answer is right there, or the solution to the problem is right there. We just have to look at it from a whole perspective. Now, the type of mentation that I've been sharing with you has been labeled by some as being very teleologic. And so that's a term that scientists who are very rigid in their thinking out of two neurons would call an individual who would always see things in full three-dimensional cycles. So that was teleologic, and because the cycles always follow one step after another, their perception is that, oh, that's just too simple and just too obvious. It couldn't be that way. So we have to basically look for what we keep thinking is the unknown, and there's no unknown if you would look for the whole, spell with a W. So I want you, as I finish up going through this little expose on melanin of the skin, to begin, as of tonight, to start seeing yourself differently. Even my wonderful sisters and brothers who are totally melanin recessive or have been diagnosed to suffer from the disease known as albinism, for those of you who are just tuning in, we've been talking about melanin, which is the pigment throughout the body, also in the organs, that most people have been conditioned to think of only in relationship to skin, hair, and eye color. These are the exterior components of a large system of photoconductivity designed in the body. Do you know that we are photoconductive beings? And that light, as we know it, we have the capacity to resonate with all of these different frequencies we have been able to identify in the electromagnetic spectrum. Now, most people do not resonate with the frequencies of light above visual light spectrums, because the areas of the brain that have to be primed, activated, to then activate their corresponding wiring system throughout the body has not been activated. And so therefore, when these frequencies of light hit the eye, when they are exposed to the external eye or nervous system, the skin, yes, the cells, even though they're designed to be able to handle these frequencies higher than the light spectrum, the visual light spectrum, cannot because they are not developed. I talked about earlier, if you're just tuning in, that we have a micro photo transmutive system in every cell of our body. It is known as the microtubule or the carbule system, and it is a large cable system, just like the cables in your house, the cable to your TV, etc. And in that larger cable, there are sub-cables or sub-wires that have been primed, protein structures that will conduct specific frequencies of our light spectrum. We have a sub-cable for ultraviolet blue light, X-ray, gamma rays, cosmic rays, etc., as well as Hertzian, infrared, visual light. All of those are bound in the cable system, the microtubule system. But now beyond Hertzian, some people can handle the infrared visual light spectrum. We have some people that can handle that. How do they, you know? Well, because they'll tell you they can see frequencies and see activities in these frequencies. But above that, most people cannot. And that is because those areas of the brain that have to be activated and then the neurochemistry from those areas of the brain, when released into the bloodstream and through the nervous system, will then prime and activate this microcircuitry. So our unpleasant response to ultraviolet radiation, to X-rays, gamma rays, cosmic waves, are due to the undeveloped photosynthetic and transmutive systems of the body. So unfortunately, the stimulation of the component of this phototransmutive system of the body through skin or surface contact of the body is what has been developed for the most part, but it's the functioning of melanin in the skin, in the eyes, in the hair is still sub-minimal because, again, the areas of the brain that would allow this pigment to reach its full development and full potential has not occurred. So thinking in wholeness about yourself, thinking and creating a desire to want to develop all of the circuitries, all of the cells and organ systems in your body will begin to bring the information as well as the chemistry necessary for these undeveloped areas of the body to develop. Now, this is very important at this time. You know, this is not just, you know, a conversation in fantasy here, because I stated at the top of the show that, you know, South America, the entire continent known as South America, has totally shifted its latitude, longitudinal axis and location on the planet. The electromagnetic frequency on the planet has shifted. We have other large land masses that are shifting. We've been talking about, you know, the radiation from the sun, the sunspots, and how are we going to handle this, that, and the other. Well, the key is it's now a stimulus for us to decide that we need to go within. We need to start having conversations with our tissues. We need to start asking more questions. Well, what do these components of our body really do? What can they do? We cannot continuously wait for some company, some research laboratory to decide that, oh, well, you know, we need to make, you know, a more reactive synthetic melanin for you to spray on your skin that might protect you from the new levels of radiation that are now going to be accessible to you because of the change in our atmosphere and ionosphere. Are you going to sit there and wait for somebody to decide that they're going to make a more protective surface for you when you can do it yourself? All you have to do is decide that you want to be more efficient in the use of your own tissues. So the melanology course, literally, that is being aired is an introduction to this wonderful phenomena of photosynthesis that has been created in every cell of the human body to stimulate you to want to begin to activate this wonderful capability within yourself so that as the environment changes, you can enjoy the change because your tissues will now be able to absorb, transmit, and eliminate any excessive energies that you may be exposed to because of the changes that are occurring on the planet and in our solar system. So you've got to have this information because you weren't designed to have to rely on someone else to figure this out for you. Your body had all of this created within it at birth, but your inability to have known this and to have the information and have been trained collectively, culturally, to activate this is a problem that we're now facing on planet Earth. So we now have to get busy and use other unique ways to get the information to humanity so that humanity can basically thrive through these times of change. But everything was not supposed to be so harsh and almost a near-death experience for you to get through. That's not how things were created. However, stimuli is important because it does prompt one to change. But a stimuli that is prompting us to change for us to experience our best and greatest capabilities is wonderful, especially when you know that you have built within you the capacity to rise to the occasion. All you have to do is get busy and to kind of change your orientation here. So the orientation change that's being requested is, first of all, to start going within and investigating and establishing a greater rapport with your body, with your tissues. For example, how many of you have sat down and never had a conversation with your melanin, the skin, melanin on your skin, or the melanin that's in your eyes? So telepathically, I haven't heard many people say I, so, you know, I expected that. It's time now for you to do that because you have built within every cell a photosynthetic system that will allow you to handle any frequency of the electromagnetic spectrum. So your need to think that you have to use suntan lotion and et cetera is only because you have not established rapport with your own melanin. You have not consciously activated beyond the normal autonomic biological functions, the areas in the brain that would allow you to be able to turn up their hormonal production or turn it down so that you can modulate and produce melanin and activate the microtubule systems in every cell of the body as well as in the skin, the epidermis, for you to be able to handle light to the extent that you choose to at will. This is very important. So we're talking about skin here and photosensitization and sensitizers, and we talk about the fact that obviously sun exposure will increase melanin production. Now, for those individuals who are melanin recessive, and they talk about the fact that, oh, you know, I can't tolerate the sun. You know, I just turn as red as a lobster. I just don't tan. Well, that's only because you have not given yourself permission to. Now, that may just sound just incredible. You know, all these years somebody's telling me, and I've gone out into the sun every summer, and all I do is turn red. I never, ever get a nice tan. And, you know, some woman is on the radio saying that's because I hadn't thought about it. Well, it's true. It's true. The key is, when I say think about it, though, I'm talking about the fact that you have decided that you would like to have a nice tan. Well, what are you really saying? I would like to produce more melanin. Fine. Where's melanin produced? Well, we know that it is produced in the skin, but there's some things that have to happen in the brain. Now, I haven't gone to full discussion yet. That's coming up later on the neuromelanins. But definitely there are areas in the brain that have to be consciously communicated with for you to increase the amount of melanin production in the skin. So deciding that you, as a melanin recessive individual who would like to be able to have a real tan, is going to require you to have to consciously, in your awareness, visit these areas of the brain, give the command as to what it is that you would like to do, and to change the attitude about the fact that this is something that you really want to achieve. See, as I said earlier, for those of you who are just tuning in, this perception of polarity that we've had, that we see everything as good or bad, or we see everything as positive or negative, et cetera. And that is not the case. That is not the case. We have to learn about discernment and discrimination. And those terms are referenced here by your focus or destiny for the day or for the week or for the year or for your life. And if there are opportunities offered to you that you cannot discern that are relative to getting you to where you want to go at the end of the day or the end of the week or the end of the year or in your life, that they do not offer the information, the potentials, the action that you need, does not make them bad. It just means that they're not relative to you. It's just the capacity not to stimulate the brain to make any neurotransmitters. That is very, very important. Very, very important. So we have a stimulation going on the planet that really requires us to be prepared for the times ahead. And those times are to deal with the electromagnetic changes that are happening on the planet, as well as to be able to tolerate a greater exposure of intensity to the ambient rays from the sun. You see, we were not created to be on this planet and to have to, you know, duck and hide all the time from the sun, when we know that everything is driven by sunlight. So if you're finding that you're not able to comfortably interact with this major force that is freely given to you on the sun, from the sun, it is because there just needs to be some activation of cells, areas of the brain that need your attention. And that's all that it's ever been. Now, again, I've talked about this perception that we've had of these degrees of melanin in our skin, in our eyes, thinking that it is a reason for us to think that we're different from someone else. The simple and accurate answer to that is wrong, W-R-O-N-G. Genetically, we know that 99.9% depends on who you read, 99.9% of all the genes in the human genome are exactly the same. So when we're looking at the degrees of pigment in the skin, the color of the eyes, what we're talking about literally is the amount of activity that is going on in the genes and in the areas of the brain relative for this production. And that's all we're talking about. There's only one race, the human race. It's important for us to begin to realize that as sisters and brothers, that we do have variation in eye color, hair color, skin color, hair texture, etc., that we've inherited, yes, that our environment as well as our attitude sustains. And if you heard what I said, the genes, yes, are controlled by attitude and environment. And attitude is the most predominant factor that turns on and off genes. So if your attitude changes, you can turn on genes and turn off genes so that you can totally transform and change yourself. And deciding that you want to have more melanin as opposed to depending upon suntan lotion to protect your skin, you can do this easily. You can do this easily with the willingness to see the whole, W-H-O-L-E, in your beingness, and then apply your attention to the areas of the body that control these factors. Very simple. And I wanted to really get this information to you on melanin and the skin. But we didn't go very far because, again, we have to stay in the present. And right now we've got some very important, intense factors to have to look at. Our entire world has changed. Large continents are shifting their position on the planet. We're going through a big change here. Earthquakes and tsunamis and, you know, floods, all kind of things. So my presentation, straightforward, as though I was giving a lecture in, you know, one of my medical school classrooms, it can't apply right now because there's so much information you need to be able to run with, to be able to keep yourself updated on the times and the changes that are being asked of you. So if there is a need in you to produce more melanin, even our individuals who are suffering from vitiligo, where their melanin appears to be dying, That also is a state of consciousness, and it also requires that there be a realignment with areas of the brain as well as with the melanocytes itself to be able to stop that degeneration and to bring about a wholeness again in the integrity of the skin and obviously other areas in the body that are regulated by melanin activity. Now, something that has not been written about yet, at least I haven't come across the information, is seasonal affective disorder in melanin-dominant individuals. Now, melanin-recessive individuals have noticed, those individuals who live far north, Russia, Europe, UK, where they have, you know, heavy cloud covers, not much direct sunlight, etc., that they definitely have neuronal or neurologic changes occur in the brain. And therefore, they definitely have mood changes and mineral metabolism, metabolic deficiencies occur, not able to really lay calcium properly into the bones, utilize it in the muscles. This is also a problem for melanin-dominant individuals, that with all of this melanin, just like anything else, it has to be cared for. And one of the ways to keep melanin healthy is to keep it charged. It is a superconductor. It is a biological superconductor. That is to say that when it is bombarded with light, whether it be in the form of sound, whether it be in direct color, whether it be a direct exchange from, you know, person-to-person contact, the melanin will absorb the energy. It will actually multiply it, and then any excess it will actually give off as heat. So when melanin-dominant individuals are not stimulating their melanin so that it can maintain its charge and then be able to continue charging itself because it likes to maintain a particular voltage of energy, okay, then you'll find that the whole system, just like the battery in a car, will begin to run down. So on days that you find, for example, the ambient environment doesn't support you, it's cloudy, it's raining, and you really feel bad, then you have to turn to other forms of light for you to basically get the energy that you need. You might want to try this. Music, very, very good at doing this. And I don't know if you've ever said, okay, well, I'm just really run down, but I really got to get this done. And you just take your MP3 player with your favorite music in it and just plug yourself up. Within 10 or 15 minutes, you're like, having totally forgotten that you basically were run down and were deciding to go to bed as opposed to make this deadline. Music also, too, very interesting. The consumption of the relatives, or what I call the first cousins of melanin, make a big difference. There's a drink that I always recommend to supplement melanin, and it's called a green drink. And it consists of watercress, celery, cucumbers, green apples, and you just juice them. If you begin to take this because of its high chlorophyll content, and in the plant world, the chlorophyll molecule really functions like melanin. The only difference is that, you know, the center element of exchange in that polymer is iron in humans as opposed to magnesium, which is in the chlorophyll, but our bodies have the capacity to change the electronic configuration so that we can take magnesium and make iron to charge ourselves. Very interesting. So green drink will help. And the green drink that I recommended, I like it a lot, as opposed to there's other plant sources that are very high in chlorophyll, but they have what I call a purgative effect on the body. So we don't want to make you go into a detox reaction, but this will really energize you. Castile-based soaps and coconut oil-based soaps. Coconut oil-based soaps. Copper is very important in melanin-dominant individuals. That also is a conductor of energies. So you might want to get yourself a copper supplement, low dose, and start taking copper too, because if you're not really eating a lot of green leafy vegetables, and especially green vegetables that have been grown in what I call empowered soil that is high in mineral content, then many times, even though the vegetable can be green, they can still be very low in minerals. So the copper will make a difference too. Melanin loves activity, too. The more melanin an individual has in the skin, it normally appears as though they have quite a bit of muscle mass associated with it. Pay attention to making sure that you are exposing yourself to enough stimulus whether it be in the form of music. Again, massage to the body, that makes a real big difference. Dry brushing your skin will also make a big difference and charge up literally the battery in melanin. You want to basically think about the fact, again, that you need more energy than if you think on this with the melanin. Just go to a melanocyte and talk to it in your head will make a big difference, okay? And, again, making sure that you do move the body and that when you can that you do get sunlight. I was really noticing after the big earthquake, et cetera, not until I went to NASA did I read where they were saying that the whole continent now has shifted, the whole axis of the earth. I was recognizing the way I was structuring my sentences. It was like I was putting everything backwards. I was like, wow, that's like really interesting because I could see myself doing it, but it was just that, you know, I was just totally restructuring the English language. Yeah, and I was like, wow, that's really interesting, you know, to be aware that I'm doing that. And I said, well, you know, this has really been going on since the earthquakes and now with the tsunamis, and there are 4 earthquakes that happened. So, I mean, yeah, it's a really big shift. And so we will all respond perhaps differently, but we need to pay attention to those. That's why I started out the show today saying that it's important to allow, to not get so busy and want to be rigid and trying to make yourself be like you were before, because that would totally defeat the whole purpose of what's happening. We're all changing, and this change is very important for the body to adapt, to be able to rise to its new level of functioning for the new position that planet Earth has taken. Do you understand? So, therefore, making change should not be frightening to you when you understand that, yes, you have to change. Your body can make the change. You have to be confident in trusting your body and to just go with the flow, but make sure that you do not do hazardous or dangerous things like want to take drugs to, you know, pump yourself up. I'm very concerned. I was someplace and I saw this woman, and she had one of those big cans of Red Bull or something, you know, and she was just drinking this down like she was actually drinking a, you know, a pint of water. And I was like, wow, she doesn't understand that we don't want to basically use drugs to try to make ourselves perform at a rate that we did last year or the year before because of all the things that are happening in the environment. You've got to allow, which means that because of these changes, you want to pull back some. So that means you have to redefine what's really important. And therefore, you do those things that are most important for the day. You understand? And then the other things that are least important, you have to give them a different time schedule. But you don't want to push where you totally exhaust the body, where it cannot make the change relative to the changes that are occurring on the planet. Do you understand? We do know, and I definitely agree, that you definitely should break fast. So once you go to bed at night, sleep 4, 5, 6, 8 hours, et cetera, you want to break fast. So you want to basically make sure that you have something in the morning within the first hour and a half of upon your rising. That's very important because the body really needs that to get itself synchronized. And then depending upon what your metabolism is like, et cetera, you may want to have something very light, piece of fruit, 2 hours later till you have lunch. And the lunch should be a substantial meal, somewhere between 1 to 3 p.m. if possible. And even if you don't eat after 3 or 4 p.m. until the next morning, the main organs of the body that are in need of taking in information from the outer environment and supplying the body with what it needs to prepare for the night process, you've basically satisfied that by eating at least breakfast, a good lunch. So if you do eat in the evenings, you want to try to make sure that you can get that done. I usually recommend before 8 p.m. in your time zone and that you don't eat 3 hours before bed. Now, the definition of melanin recessiveness, where they basically do not produce enough melanin, where the colors of metabolism that are happening deeper in the body are able to be visible through the skin. That's what we call melanin recessiveness. Okay, the capillary beds in the veins, in the arteries, et cetera, those are very delicate tissues that normally, ideally, would like to be protected from direct interaction with the environment and especially with intense frequencies of light And when that is not the case, we call that melanin recessiveness. When you look at the cells under the microscope, you'll see, again, as I described it, that the melanin granules are pycnotic. They just kind of ball up and they stay in one area of the cell as opposed to smoothing themselves out and becoming flat where they can actually protect all of the organelles in the cell. We find that because the tissues are really taking a lot of trauma from the direct penetration of light because there's no melanin to absorb and protect them from these high frequencies, and to dissipate that as heat, their skin appears to age much faster. The healing phenomena is slower or significantly declines, etc. So we call that melanin recessiveness, but as I've said earlier, that is a genetic propensity but can be changed with attitude and the proper attention paid to activating those areas of the brain necessary to augment and increase melanin production. We talked about that for almost a whole week in our chat clubs about the fact that we have particular chromosomes. They're known as transposons. And these chromosomes are so cute because they jump from one chromosome to another depending upon what the need is. And there are transposons and a large amount of the DNA that has no programs. It's just dormant. It's just waiting to be given an assignment that individuals such as our albino individuals who the TYR gene is minimally functional can actually program dormant genes to take on full TYR tyrosinase activity at will. But they have to be programmed. But that, again, requires that the desire has to accompany the proper neurotransmitters and proper neural hormones for those genes to accept the command and then act appropriately. The planet is changing. This has been predicted that it happens every 10,000 years. And unfortunately, we've been very sluggish in preparing ourselves for it. We've looked at it as though it's a phenomenon that we look at, you know, happening through a telescope or a microscope or whatever. But we've made very little plans as a civilization to prepare ourselves to rev our tissue function up to a whole new notch, to a whole new level of functioning. And so we've had many people come here and tell us that we need to do this. We've had people come and talk about working with the brain, activating more brain tissue, becoming balanced and hemisync and all these different things. And this has not basically flooded our institutions, whether they be social, entertainment, or educational, or religious. It's like everything has been going status quo as though we're still in 1 BC, and things are rolling, and the human beings are not able to roll with it because we have not prepared ourselves for the times. Well, guess what? One of the wonderful things that happens is that whenever you hear the calling to change, that is the key for you to make a decision that you will, and your willingness to do so will allow the information, the disciplines, the circumstances to come to you almost instantly so that you can change in time for the actual event. It's very important for everybody who's listening because it is a call to ask you to change your attitude, your perception of self, and get busy making a decision that you want to be here 15, 20, 30, 100 years from now, and then find out what you need to do and the information will come. To restore the melanin in the skin doesn't necessarily require the activation of stem cells, where to actually regenerate an organ or a body part does require activation of stem cells. So the process is a little different. But attitude is always the first thing that has to change. And so with the desire to basically want to correct the disease process, you can do one or two things. You can decide that whatever your attitudes have been in the past that you know have not been in your best interest, you can drop it and move forward. That automatically will allow things to try to return to normal. And then with the intent on wanting to basically have uniform skin texture and melanation, you can begin to actually talk to the melanocytes in your own head. So there's a visualizations that you can do for that, et cetera, to bring that about. But the change in attitude is mandatory, and that's why most people cannot regenerate areas of their body because they will not change the attitude. They have not learned that what you think matters, and that how you think and what you think about determines whether the cells of your body are going to function healthfully or not. And so we know when we are thinking thoughts that basically are not in our best interest, and I've almost talked about that most of the night. Please do not ignore me. To continuously deal in polarities is very destructive to human tissue. You must learn how to accept things as they are and know that the value of your focus is what will manifest for you. But somebody else doesn't want to do it, it's fine. Doesn't mean that it's good or bad. It just means that they, for whatever reason, may not be working or thinking in their best interest. They have the right to do that, but we move on. So this criticism, the judgment, the divisory perceptions that we have, it must stop. And that's why the melanology lectures are so important, because people are not going to be able to evolve forward thinking about race, because there's only one race. That's the human race spelled with an E. If people do not stop that and stop judging people based on the amount of melanin production in their skin, they're going to die. I'm literally just going to have to tell you the truth. So I was sitting here looking at the news, and they were talking about some foolishness about, well, if you're a politician and you're melanin dominant, that you're going to be scrutinized much more heavily than melanin recessive politicians, and so therefore melanin dominant politicians better know that they have to really live their lives exactly by the regulations that they've been voted into office by. That's so ridiculous. Instead of talking about the fact, can we have integrity and honesty? See, we don't care if you're a polka dot with yellow stripes. That's the issue, but there is some type of disorientation in the brains of many people in humanity that continuously explore this divisory thinking, not understanding that it's totally against the order of the planet. So it's not whether you're saying, you know, having a big dog and a little dog is good or bad, which is ridiculous. The point is that to even try to make a division brings about a disharmony on the planet, because this planet exists, your body exists, everything on this planet exists because of magnetism. Primary force is magnetism, the unity, the coming together. And when you start that polarizing and dividing, it divides all matter. It destroys the magnetic potential of the entire quantum field. And everything begins to disintegrate, everything. And people don't understand that. So, oh, this is good, or oh, that's bad, well, that's positive, or that's not. They don't understand. You are causing a degradation and a whole separation of the quantum field that is responsible for your reality. We've got to heal on this, because we've got much, 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 much bigger things to face here in the coming months. And we've got to be able to heal over this perception and illusion of race. We've got to. You've got to love the melanin, the amount you have. If you know that it's inadequate, you can make more. That's what's so exciting here. So I love you all. Have a fabulous night, and I will talk to you next week.
This is the Science of Melanology, presented by Dr. Jewel Pookrum. All recorded and printed materials are copyrighted by the Jewel Publications, Inc., a subsidiary of the House of Jewels. Any unauthorized duplication of these materials is strictly prohibited. Our commitment is to connect with those who want to discover and learn the science of life and the science of living. For additional books, MP3, Mayan calendars, Immortal Chat CDs, registration for the Balancing Program, and the Advanced Balancing Workshop, please visit our website, thejewelnetwork.com, or call 602-559-1842. That's thejewelnetwork.com. Or call 602-559-1842. Thank you.